Got a little visual aid here. It lasts, it doesn't last in hours. It lasts an hour, I think 1 minute and 1 minute and 22 seconds. So I, at three, no, what time did we start? 10:30, 10:29, I turned it over. So, so if you wonder when it's gonna be all over, this is just look at the, can you all see it? Or do I have to put it up? Okay. Oh, we needed it last week. All right. Well, it's good to see you all today. We're going to be looking, I'm going to be speaking on Hebrews 9, 22 to 28. And the title of the message is Jesus is Coming Back, Are You Ready? Jesus is Coming Back, Are You Ready? Let's open up in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather together today to be under the sound of your word. We thank you that we could remember your son this morning, proclaiming his death until he comes. And Father, I just pray that the words that I speak, only the truth of your word would come out and penetrate the hearts of everyone here. And Lord, if there's anyone that doesn't know you, I pray that your gospel, which is the power of your power unto salvation to everyone who believes would speak to the hearts of those who need it. And we just pray for the children as well downstairs and ask them to understand your gospel too of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray, amen. So if you can turn to Hebrews 9, 22. Okay, 9:22, starting at verse 22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. All right, so the Lord Jesus Christ is the center of human history, and whether the world acknowledges it or not, Jesus Christ was there at the beginning. You know, the Gospel of John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life. You know, so it was Jesus Christ that formed Adam out of the dust, wasn't it? It was Jesus Christ who breathed into him life. Jesus Christ has always been the great life giver and the sustainer of life. You know, he's the only giver of human life and the only giver of spiritual life. Without Jesus, we are completely dead, aren't we? Dead physically, dead spiritually. Jesus Christ is called the Word. In other words, Jesus Christ is God. He became flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus Christ, he always existed. He is the only person who walked the face of this earth that pre-existed his birth. Isn't that amazing? He's the only person that walked this earth that pre-existed his human birth. Do you remember what Jesus said once? He said, before Abraham was, what did he say? I am. Jesus Christ is the center of all human history. It says he is the first and he is the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. You know, even our very Gregorian calendar that we use, and it's used throughout most of the world, is based on Jesus Christ coming into the world. BC, what does that stand for? Before Christ. And then AD, that's Latin. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Anno Domini, is that how you pronounce it? Okay. Meaning in the year of our Lord. And who is the Lord? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the center of human history, even though, you know, they've changed it to, I think it's BCE, before the Common Era, and CE, which stands for the Common Era. And I believe they made this change because they don't like our calendar to be centered around Jesus Christ, I think. But regardless, our year 2023 is based on the fact that Jesus lived on this earth. He was here 2023 years ago. Time keeps passing, doesn't it? You know, the clock keeps ticking. The sand in the hourglass. There's a little visual. Keeps falling. You know, sometimes I like to do a little fun math on my birthday. I know you might think this is strange, but I take my age and then I multiply it by 365.25. Got to add that leap year in there. That shows me how many days I've lived. Then I multiply that times 24 hours. That shows me how many hours I've lived. And then I multiply that by 60 minutes. That shows me how many minutes I've lived. And then I multiply that by 60 seconds. And that shows me how many seconds I've lived. Well, when I turned 55 last month, I had lived 20,088.75 days. In hours, it was 482,130 hours. In minutes, it was, this makes me feel really old, 28,927,800 minutes. And in seconds, wow, I'm ancient here, 1,735,668,000 seconds. So if you're older than me, just imagine how many billion. Some of you are way over 2 billion. Does that make you feel old? Okay, the moments are passing away. Each year that you live, 31,557,600 seconds pass away. And our hearts beat probably faster than a second a minute. So just think of how many heartbeats you have. This is all fun to figure out, but the real question is, how many days, hours, minutes, and seconds do we have left? How big is your hourglass? I don't know. Only Jesus Christ knows the answer to that. Jesus Christ lovingly formed you and I in our mother's womb. Jesus Christ knew the very second he would give you your first breath in this world. Took your first breath. And he knows the very second that you will take your last breath in the world. The question is, are we ready to meet a holy God when we take our last breath? Verse 27 that I just read, it says, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Are you ready for that day that the sand of your individual glass runs out? You know, if you're here today and you're not sure if a holy God who gives you human life is going to accept you into heaven instead of placing you into hell, when you take your last breath, I want you to pay close attention. Because God's standard to get into heaven is not you tried your best. No, it's much higher. His standard is absolute righteousness, absolute perfection. You know, do you measure up to that standard? You know, if we look back to the beginning of the text we read in Hebrews 9:22, you know, God's standard way back in Old Testament times was perfection way back then. And how was this dealt with? Well, it says at the end of verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is what? No remission. So there was no remission, no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. God's people, Israel, they had the task of being a light to the Gentiles, and they were given a sacrificial system of worship. You know, the animal sacrifices were performed by the priests who would slaughter animals. We think of the unblemished male lambs at the Passover, right? And the bulls and goats for the Day of Atonement. Then they would do a ritual with the blood. One type of sacrifice was on the Day of Atonement. And I like that hymn, it kind of touched on that. It's referred to now among Jews as Yom Kippur. Well, the high priest of the Old Testament would slaughter and take blood from the bull for his own sins, and then blood from the goat for the sins of the people. And what would he do? He would sprinkle it on the mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant, which was in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle or in the temple of God. And this type of sacrifice occurred one time a year. The problem with this sacrifice and with all other sacrifices, all the ritual sacrifices that the priests did, that it never really took away sins. Look ahead to chapter 10, verse 11. And every priest, this is Hebrews 10, 11, and every priest stands ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. They did it over and over. Their work was never really done, was it? You know, it was an atonement. It was a covering. It just covered up the sins for another year. It postponed God's ultimate judgment for sin. Think for a moment about a credit card that you keep on using with an unknown credit limit. That sounds dangerous. That's the American way. Slice it. And I remember working with someone that kept on getting new credit cards, and he would max it out, and then he would do, transfer the complete balance, then he'd have a new one, and then he would go. He had a total of 15. He kept maxing them all out. Not a good choice. So when you reach the end of the unknown credit limit, then you owe the balance in full. You know, until that day comes, you just keep on paying the interest. Imagine that, just keeping paying the interest and racking up more and more debt. You know, the end would not be very nice. You'd owe this huge debt that you probably wouldn't be able to pay. Well, the sins of the world kept piling up, didn't it? Even though they did those sacrifices, you know, the sins just kept on piled up. The sacrifices merely covered up the sin to postpone God's judgment that would ultimately come. You know, when God told Israel to make sacrifices, he never intended those sacrifices to ever permanently take away the sins. Hebrews 10, verse 3 and 4 talks about this. It says, "But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." You know, the sacrificial system was very graphic, wasn't it? A graphic picture of God's views on sin. And if you could imagine being there, just seeing all the blood and the sacrificed animal, and then the priest taking that blood into the Holy of Holies. It was not a pretty picture, but it was God's view of sin and how it must be dealt with. And do we share God's views on sin? Do we share God's views on sin? The world we live in doesn't. You know, the world system that we live in is training people to forget how to blush. You know, this world is training people to forget how to blush, to forget how to be embarrassed over sin. You know, the world distorts God's view of marriage. The world distorts God's view of sexuality, distorts the biblical view of creation and how we came into this world. It distorts God's value on human life. It distorts justice. The list could go on and on. So this world trains people how to forget how to be embarrassed about sin. Instead of being embarrassed and hiding sin, like Adam and Eve did in the garden, you know, people are being trained to accept and even celebrate sin. You know, but God's standard of what is right and wrong has not changed, has it? His standard is perfection, right? Do you measure up? Do I measure up? God says, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And how do we measure up? You know, are you and I, are we as good and holy as God is? Is your righteousness in your righteousness and purity? Are we as good as God is? If you think you are, then you are not ready for a Savior. You know, Jesus did not come to call the righteous, what the scripture says, but what? Sinners to repentance. The person who thinks he doesn't need a Savior and thinks he is righteous on his own will stand before a holy God and get a fair trial. Not a good choice, is it? A fair trial is not a good choice, because the problem with that is that Scripture also says there is none righteous, not even one. You know, if we feel like we are righteous, even if we feel like we are better than the man on death row, we still fall short of God's perfection. I have a question for you. Do you feel like God will accept you more than the man on death row? Do you feel like God would accept you into heaven more than the man on death row? You have no advantage. You and I have no advantage than the man on death row. For in Romans it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's hard for some people to accept, that we have no advantage over the person who did all these heinous crimes. No, we both are falling short of God's glory, justified only through Jesus Christ. Based on God's word, I would not recommend any of us taking our chances on that trial before God on our own, because it says in the Bible, if we keep the whole law, and stumble in one point, we're guilty of it all. You know, when we compare ourselves with the man on death row, that probably did these unspeakable crimes, we're looking horizontally, aren't we? But it is not other people who judge us after we die. It is who? It's God. You know, it is appointed for men to die once, it says, and after that, the judgment. You know, and God's standard is perfection. We can be religious and try our whole life to please a holy God. Our whole life. But if we want to get to heaven and not to go to hell by our works, you know, we can try as hard as we can. We can try. But God's standard is perfection, and we will always, what? Fall short. We'll fall short. Religion tries so hard to get up to that standard, but it never reaches it. If we offend the Lord in one point, the Bible says that we are guilty of breaking the whole law. You know, and so we all have something in common in this room. Every one of us here. We all need a Savior. We all need a Savior. You know, most of us are born into religion, right? We can all have our testimony of what religion we were born into, but that is not what we need. We don't need religion. We need a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Religion might make us feel spiritual, but it does not give us a relationship with God. Proverbs says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You know, I have another question for you. If you died today and stood before God and He asked you why He should let you into heaven, what would be your answer? Think for a moment. If you were to die today and you stood before God and He asked you why He should let you into heaven, what would be your answer? You know, if you tell Him that you tried your best, He's not going to let you in. If you tell Him that you are better than a lot of people in your neighborhood, just like, remember Baruka from Little Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? I don't know, maybe not many of you watch that show. Some of you know. Joel, you know? Yeah, okay. She went down. She was a bad egg. Yeah, there we go. So if you tell Him you're better than the people in your neighborhood, you're not going to make it. If you tell Him, well, my parents got me baptized as a baby, That's not going to get you in. He's not going to let you in. The only answer is because of Jesus, my Savior. You know, I don't deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve to go to heaven, but your son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for my sins. You punished your son on the cross for my sins so I could come in here. Your son died and was buried. He rose again, and he is my only Lord and Savior. You know, if we could go to heaven right now and interview all the people in heaven, just do an interview, and we could ask each person, hey, how did you get in here? Do you know what their answer, everyone's answer would be? Jesus. You might go to the Christian person who had an outwardly religious Christian life, and you'd ask them, how did you get in here? They wouldn't talk about their works. They would say, Jesus. And then you might ask someone who had done a lot of outwardly bad things the same question. How did you get in here? The same answer would come, through Jesus. You see, it's in order to get delivered from hell and get entrance to heaven, it's not what you have done, but who you know. Who you know. And on whom you have believed. You know, we need to know Jesus as our Savior, our Lord and Savior. We need to believe that he died personally for us. I remember when I first understood the gospel, I had heard the gospel for years, but when I understood that he died on that cross for me, he was buried for me and rose again for me, I saw my sins on him, laid on him, and I just remember that we need to know Jesus as our personal Savior. Remember the end of 22. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The animal sacrifices, they only covered sin. But Jesus Christ, what did he do? He took our sins away on the cross by being punished for them in our place. Verse 23 through 26 talk about the greatness of Christ's sacrifice compared to the Old Testament sacrificial system. I'm going to read those again, 23 to 26. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in heaven should be purified with these, through the animal sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. You know, Jesus Christ is the reality of behind all these rituals. You know, Jesus Christ, it says he has appeared in the presence of God for us. The Lord Jesus Christ is our mediator. He speaks on our defense. Who's our accuser? Satan, isn't he? He accuses us before the throne day and night, and Jesus Christ is our defender. Why? Because he knows that he died for every last sin that I have done, every last sin that you have done. And so we can boldly approach that throne of grace to find help in time of need, knowing that our sins have been paid for once and for all by Jesus. He didn't just cover them up, he put them away. It says, not that he should be offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He's put it away, and he did the job himself. Sometimes when you have to get a job done, you got to do it yourself, and that's the only way this job could be done. None of us were qualified. We're all sinners. We needed to go to hell. But Jesus was willing to leave heaven's glory to go to live a perfect life and go to the cross for me, for you, for the sins of the whole world, to bear the penalty that we deserve. You know, Jesus Christ offered himself to take away our sins. What does it say? As far as the east is from the west. Got my directions right. That's how far he removes them, never to be seen again. You know, is there anyone here? Maybe there's a sin that you think, oh, this is sin is too evil and wicked. You know, we all have things that we might think of that, oh, that sin is just a little bit too much for Jesus. No, even that sin, Jesus Christ died for that sin. He said, it is finished on the cross. He completed the work. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the way. the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through him. You know, Jesus Christ is our ticket into heaven. You know, he's our way. There's not a way. It's not a way. It's the way, the only way. You know, the blood of animals never took away sins, did it? Just covered them up. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. What did we just sing? He washes us whiter than snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ and his work on the cross is the only one who can save us and make us clean. Do you feel like a dirty person? Jesus makes you clean. Look to him. We look to him. He's the only one who can save us. He's the only one who keeps us saved. He's the one who, when we're weak and weary, he gives us rest. He makes us clean and perfect in his eyes to go to heaven. That's not our experience, but that's our position in Jesus Christ, and it's all grace. Jesus did the work, and we received the gift. What does Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says? For it is by grace that you have been saved through what? Faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You see, there's not going to be any boasting in heaven about what we are, who we are, what we've done. That wouldn't be heaven. If we have any boast in heaven, it will be boasting about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our boast. He's our glory. Jesus Christ, who loved us, even though he was God, loved us, left heaven's glory to become a man and took on human flesh just like us. And yet he was different in that he had no sin of his own. You know, Jesus led the perfect life that I was not able to live. Jesus led the perfect life that you have not been able to live. But Jesus, you know, Jesus lived that perfect life, and God knew that there was only one way to save us from hell. And that was to give us the gift of eternal life through his Son. And it was by sending his only begotten Son, Jesus, into the world to be our Savior. You know, he cannot just shut his eyes to our sins and say, it's okay, I love you. Come up here. You know, God is holy, and sin must be punished. He must send sinners to hell. But God is also love. And God so loved the world that he gave what? His Son. He found a way that he could save us and still be just and holy God. And this was by coming down, taking on human flesh, dying for our sins on the cross. You know, every sin that I've ever done, every sin that you've all done, every sin that's ever been done, all the sins of the world, all the judgment of that sin during those moments on the cross, we were just talking about that this morning, those dark moments on the cross, when Jesus was hanging there, God the Father actually judged his own Son for my sin and yours. What a wonderful Savior we have. We often think of the sufferings of Christ that he received from man. You know, the scourging. We talked about this too this morning. The scourging, the whipping, and the being nailed to the cross. He was disfigured more than any man. But when the Lord God, his Father who loved him, laid on him the iniquity or the judgment for our sins, for my sins, that was the moment that Jesus cried out, didn't he? And what did he cry out? My God, why have you forsaken me? And what was the reason that he forsook his Son? What was the reason why God forsook his Son? I think we know that. It was so that we could have our sins forgiven. It was the only way. We love the verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It says, whosoever believes in him. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The Bible says, to as many as received him, received Jesus, to those he gives the right to become children of God. That's an awesome opportunity. It's an awesome opportunity. This is God's grace and mercy. Jesus took our place of judgment on the cross, and he gives us the gift of eternal life to whosoever believes on him. You know, I'm so glad that I know that I'm one of those whosoever's. You know, I believe that Jesus died for my sin. was buried and rose again? And are you included as one of those whosoevers that believes on Jesus? Ask yourself. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, believe on him now. You know, the time is ticking. Let's see how much time we have left. You know, we have to ask ourselves, are we saved? You know, the second you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, you are given a gift. It's called eternal life, God's very life, something that can never be taken away from you. It's the gift of God, not of works. We can't earn it or deserve it. And it's for you. And if you are saved, if you're here and you are saved, and I see a lot of you that are, I know you, are you redeeming the time in these evil days? You know, the time is running out. We only have this life to walk by faith. You know, we don't know how long we have, but these are evil days. Are we redeeming the time walking by faith? You know, sometimes we get weary, don't we? It gets weary walking by faith, but we look to the Lord Jesus and we get strength from him. We get transformed by the renewing of our mind through him. You know, I love the famous quote, "One life 'twill soon be past, only what is done for Christ will last." We've heard that one before. I don't know how many seconds we have left. You know, I don't know how many seconds we have left. You don't know how many seconds you have left, how many heartbeats we have left. And it doesn't matter how many seconds have passed in our life, but what matters, are we prepared to meet a holy God when our seconds run out? You know, only the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again, can prepare us for eternity. You know, there's no salvation in any other. Not in any person, not in any religion. The Bible says there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Verse 27 and 28, it says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation." You know, I hope and pray that you are waiting together with me and all believers for that, with great anticipation for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to meet us in the air. When we die, it's too late to get right with God. Today is the day of salvation. You know, believe on him today if you don't already know him. And if you do believe on him, continue letting Jesus live his life through you so that others may join you in waiting for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love gift to the world, that you are willing to send your only begotten Son into the world to save sinners like us. And Lord, we pray for anyone who's hearing this message, whether they be here, on Zoom, or if someone here shares the words that I spoke today from your word. Lord, we just pray for these people in our lives that we know. We pray for that your gospel, the message that you died for sinners, for all sinners, sinners like us. Lord Jesus, you died for all of our sins. Once and for all, you paid the penalty, and you were buried and you rose again to give us life. And we thank you that we have eternal life through you. And we pray for all these people that we know that don't know you yet. We pray that for their salvation. And Lord, as we wait in great anticipation for your coming, Lord, help us not to grow weary. You know that we are weak in and of ourselves. We wander as sheep, and yet we have victory, as we said. We sang victory in Jesus, our Savior forever. Help us to walk in that victory and that newness of life. Help us to be in your word and be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And help us to be to reflect who you are to the people around us so that more and more people can come to know you and know what you did at the cross. And we pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now we still have time, so we're going to do a closing hymn. So if you could turn your eyes upon Jesus, 550, no, not that, so, softly and tenderly, 553. 553, softly and tenderly. We're going to sing a cappella. Mm-hmm. 553. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, you who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, you who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming, coming for you and for me. Come home, you who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, you who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Well, we still have a little time, but I guess we get out a little early. So the meeting is dismissed.
It was good to see everybody.
Yes, Mary, good to see everyone. And you all have a wonderful day and a great week.
You too.